Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Well, good morning. I am not Pastor Heath. You might have already figured that out. I'm Mason. I'm one of the elders here. And I am so glad to and honored to have this opportunity to just bring the word to you guys this morning. Don't worry, Pastor Heath will be back next week. He's taking a little break, well-deserved break. And if you guys were here last Sunday, wasn't that amazing? I mean, just the move of the Holy Spirit in this church, and he's moving in all his churches, but man, I don't know. It was powerful last week. I pray that same power would be here with us today. But before we jump into this study, today is November 10th. What's tomorrow? Veterans Day. That's right. So if you have served our country in any capacity in the military or are currently serving, would you please stand? Let's honor these folks. Thank you for your service. So, here we go. You guys ready? As we continue to make our way through the one-year Bible, which we do here at Reach, it always amazes me how God works through the Old Testament, through Psalms, through Proverbs, and even where we're at in the New Testament in Hebrews, which is where we're going to launch out from today. If you're going through the one-year Bible with us, which I highly encourage you do, and there are free copies, here's a plug, there's free copies on that desk on your way out. Please grab one and jump in tomorrow, and you'll see right where we're at. So Hebrews 11 is where we're going to be today, if you have your Bibles. If not, it'll be up on the screen behind me. But it's one of the most well-known sections of Scripture, and one that Pastor Heath has taught us from in previous years. And I'm not going to go through all of Hebrews 11. Pastor Heath has done a great job of covering that in the past. But I really felt like the Holy Spirit impressed upon me that we need to look at this one character in what is called the Hall of Faith or the Heroes of the Faith. And in that section of Scripture, we have 15 men actually named specifically, and there's others that you can assume who they are by the stories that they're talking about, but only two women. And one of those women will be the focus of our teaching today. Her name was Rahab, and she was a harlot. Now, as I was going through this last night, reading this over to Sharla and our friend Allie that's staying with us, Sharla asked me the question. She goes, "Do you think everybody knows what a harlot is?" So just to get this out of the way, everybody understand what a harlot is? Give me like a head nod. Okay. All right. If you don't, I'm going to try to give you the children's ministry answer. So if you're thinking about joining children's ministry, which is a great thing to do, I spent 11 years in children's ministry at our old home church out west. And here's one thing you will find as a children's ministry teacher. If you come up to a word like this, the kids will immediately raise their hand and go, "Teacher, what's a harlot?" And you will have to give a response. Okay, so how do you respond to that? Okay, well, I was thinking about that, and I go, well, okay, so it's a lady that takes money so you can have sleepovers. But here's the problem with children's ministry. You will have that one kid that their parents will teach them every bloody detail about the Bible, you know, unhinged, and they will go, "That's not right, teacher. It means they have sex." And it's like, then all the other hands go up. "What's sex?" and that's the day that you leave children's ministry. So anyways, back to our adult conversation here. So when I say harlot, how as a believer in Jesus Christ does that make you feel? Does that give you great hope because of your own troubled background? Or do you think to yourself, why would God allow a woman like that to be in the hall of faith? Regardless of Rahab's background, the others in the hall of faith, or even our background, we should all be eternally grateful that God does not see or judge the way that we do. Can I get an amen? Amen. We are all given the opportunity to come to faith in Jesus Christ. He has died for the whole world. He does not wish that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And guess what? In the Greek, all means? Amen. In this teaching today, may God get us back to the place where we not only see great hope for our own lives, but we see others, especially those that don't fit our mold, as those that God loves and died for. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we just come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for stories like this that shake us out of our comfort zone, God, that we see people that may not fit our mold, but God, for those of us that you save from the pit, it gives us great hope, God, because we realize that you save to the uttermost and to the guttermost. And God, it doesn't matter where we came from, what we were doing before, God, you love us all. And you have made the way of escape through your son, Jesus Christ. May we just see this faith of this woman today as a just something that we can cling to, that's something that we can learn from. And God, that you would speak by your Holy Spirit to each and every person that's listening today. And God, would give us ears to hear, but help us not to just be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to be jumping around a bit today. So if you have your Bible, we'll be starting in Hebrews 11:1 so that we can get a biblical definition of what faith is, because we're using that word a lot today, before we talk about Rahab's faith. So the Bible references that you'll be seeing on the screen behind you and I'll be reading from are from the New King James Version. So Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, none of us have had an experience where we've seen God face to face. We're not home in heaven yet. We haven't got there. But when we read these stories in the Bible, when we hear these things, we believe that there is an almighty God. We have seen him move and work in our lives and other people's lives. We know that there's a heaven that's awaiting us one day, and we long for that. So we are believing in faith for the things that we haven't even experienced yet. So Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there can be no wishy-washiness, that's highly technical language, about our faith in God. We either believe that he is God and his word declares exactly who he is, or we don't believe at all. There is no middle ground with faith. Our faith can be increased and should, but remember, it is our enemy, the devil, that wants to pull you away from faith, to cause doubt about our faith. Remember, it was the snake in the garden, the devil, that came to Adam and Eve and that brought doubt about what God said by saying, did God really say? And that's what goes on in the world today, right? We hear people go, yeah, I don't know. Is that real? Did God really say? Do not listen to the doubters, the naysayers, the godless that will try to pull you away from the faith. So the heroine of our text today could have been the one to fall into this trap, to listen to the crowd, but she didn't. She actually listened to the stories about the God of the Israelites and did essentially what Romans 10:17 tells us well before it was put on paper in regards to faith. And it says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So she didn't have a Bible like we do that we can go to at any time, right? All she had was the stories that she was hearing, but the same stories that are written in there. Essentially, she was getting the word before it was even penned. So Rahab heard of all that Almighty God was doing, and as we'll see in Joshua chapter 2, and she responded in faith. God honored her response, and he rewards those that believe in him and who diligently seek him. Now let's see how she is honored in Hebrews 11 for her faith. So starting in verse 30, because that gives you the picture of what was going on. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. And here's the verse. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. That's all we read of her in Hebrews 11. But the fact is, she's there. Amongst all the other Bible characters that we read in Scripture, I mean, there's a handful of them that are in there, but there's so many more we could say, well, why not this person? Why not that person? You know what? God's in charge, not us. He wanted her in there. Rahab is listed by name here in the Hall of Faith because her faith was a simple faith, a saving faith, and a working faith. You might want to write that down. How so? Well, Hebrews and Joshua are not the only books in the Bible that she is mentioned of, as we shall soon see. Now let's turn to Joshua chapter 2, and we'll jump in starting at verse 1. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. So how many spies this time? Two spies. Not like 12, 40 years earlier. Okay, when they first came out of Egypt and they were making their way to the promised land, they got there, Moses sent out 12 spies. Remember, 10 came back with a bad report, but only two came back with a good report. And for my Bible students out there, and of course, you guys are all Bible students. You guys should all know this. Who were the two spies that came back with the good report? Amen. Joshua and Caleb. So now Joshua, the leader of the children of Israel, and upwards of over a million people at this time, right? He's getting ready to bring this army of people into the promised land, finally, after 40 years. And guess what? Caleb's still alive too. And Caleb's going strong. In fact, we read later that at 85 years old, he wants the land of the giants so he can go, can I say this? Kick butt on giants at 85 years old. I don't know about you, but at 85, I'm like thinking about cruising into retirement, maybe sitting on the couch. No, he's battling giants. He's awesome. All right. Anyways, that was a side note. How did the spies find the harlot's house? So this is interesting to ponder. How would they know when they went into Jericho? They'd never been there. How would they know to go or to find a harlot's house? And why would they go to a harlot's house? Glad you asked. All right, so in those days, they would actually paint the wood windowsills red. They would stand out so that you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt, oh, that's where a harlot lives. Yeah, we want to go there. Well, you think, wait, these men of God, these Israelites, why would they go there? Basically, harlots were known not to give up their clients historically. It was a place of anonymity. And guess what? The rest of Jericho, they couldn't go anywhere. Everybody in Jericho knew these people were coming, right? And so that was the only safe spot they could go. And of course, as history would tell us too, the red windowsills would turn into red lanterns at some point. And in this day and age, it turns into what we know as the red light district, right? So just a little history lesson there. In case you wanted to know, don't go to those areas. And verse 2, it says, "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. All right, wait a second. So is God honoring a harlot that lies to authority? Well, we're not told that God condoned or condemned her lie, but he used it nonetheless, didn't he? God has used liars, deceivers, adulterers, murderers, cowards, and any other label we can come up with. In this moment, she aligns herself with God and his people, and many will have a hard time with this, but what about us? If you were in her shoes, what would you have done? Would you have not wanted the same mercy and grace that God showed her? I can give you multiple examples of godly characters throughout Scripture who faltered, but God used them mightily. And this once well-known harlot would become Rahab the believer in God Almighty. By the way, I'm not saying that any one of us should go out and have a sin fest and see how that works out for us. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. I don't think that that's what this is about here. I think it's her protecting God's people at all costs and wanting them to be part of what God was doing, so she took a stand against the enemy. And again, may we learn to see people as God sees them. All right, verse 6. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Do you know what flax was used for? It was actually used to make linen. They actually would take the flax, make linen from it, and make linen garments. And if you know your biblical history, you would know that the priests wore linen robes, right? And what did Jesus wear? He wore a linen robe. And when we're saved, what are we robed in? We're robed in his righteousness. So it's like this beautiful picture of them being hidden. It's almost like the, they couldn't be seen because of what they were hidden under. And it's that picture of being robed in the righteousness of Christ. We were once seen one way, we see her name as harlot, but later on, it's like that's not how she's seen. She's seen as Rahab, this woman of faith. But, you know, bottom line is this picture of the flax, it's this great symbolism of us being robed in the righteousness of Christ. Verse 7, it says, then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords, and as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, so check this out, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has befallen on us, has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard of how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came up out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. This is Rahab's confession of faith. Notice all of Jericho heard, because she said, we're all faint-hearted, right? Our hearts melted, meaning all of us. But only Rahab responded in faith toward God. God may have spared that whole city if they would have repented, but they didn't. Isn't that true for us too? For us that believe in Jesus, we want those that we know and love and live and work with come to a saving faith in Jesus. And as the song goes, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow, no turning back, no turning back. You know, bottom line is, Rahab was, regardless of who was going to go with her, she was going to follow the Lord. And as we'll see, Rahab's whole family will be spared because of her faith. But I'm sure there was people in Jericho that she didn't want to see perish, right? That's the hard truth we all face. Just because we believe doesn't mean that everyone will believe that we know and care about. That's hard, right? I mean, we see people all the time. We try to tell them, and they're like, talk to the hand. But our job, while we're still here, is to keep on praying. Look for those divine appointments that God has set up before you to share the gospel and to keep trusting Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's pick it up in verse 12. It says, "Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that I have, and deliver our lives from death." Rahab had a saving faith. She was concerned with those that she loved. She wasn't just about her. Sometimes that's how it can be, right? Oh, I'm safe. I'm in the lifeboat now, right? And others are bobbing around in the water, and we're not even willing to throw them the life preserver, right? She's not that way. She actually was like, hey, everybody take a life preserver. Let's go. She realized her family would be destroyed too if she didn't speak up. Verse 14, "So the men answered her, 'Our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you.'" Okay, so in our modern vernacular, this part where they say, "Don't tell this business of ours," is like saying either snitches get ditches or snitches get stitches. Everybody tracking? That's a joke. All right. Verse 15, "Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall." Okay, Rahab's house is on this same wall that is going to collapse. How is that going to work? Well, God would spare her, right? We'll see that when the wall comes down, her house, her part of the wall, is the only part that doesn't come down. "And she said to them, 'Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way.' So the men said to her, 'We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home.'" This scarlet cord. Interesting. "So it shall be, whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear." Then she said, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Okay, a lot there. We're going to unpack this a little bit. So the scarlet cord against her red windowsills, right, would give the appearance of a red cross. Interesting. A picture of what God did in Egypt for his people on the night of Passover, where the blood was on the doorposts and the lintel and kept the death angel away and protected them. And it is also a picture of the bloody cross of Jesus that gives us all the way of escape from sin and death for all those that place their faith in him. Can I get an amen? This was Rahab's simple act of faith and obedience to bind that scarlet cord in the window so that that death would not come to her or anyone in her house. It is the act of faith of applying the blood of Jesus to our lives. This is how we are saved. Also, did you hear her response? "According to your words, so be it." Who else in Scripture made a statement like that? Mary. In Luke 1:38, when Gabriel told her all that would happen, that she would be the mother of Jesus, that she would have this child, and she's like, "Well, I don't even know, man." But she said, "According to your words, so be it." So God takes two women, both in the lineage of Jesus, one a harlot, one a virgin, and uses them both mightily. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God blows my mind when he does stuff like this, and then it just pops off the page, and you're like, wow. All right, verse 22, they departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua the son of Nun and told them all that had befallen him. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. I highly encourage you guys to read the rest of the sections of Joshua leading up to the fall of Jericho, but we're going to actually pick it back up in Joshua 6, starting in verse 15, because this is where, you know, it all goes into action here. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. And on that day only, they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time it happened when the priests blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So if you know the rest of that story, God basically laid out the strangest battle plan ever in history. And yet, it worked. You know why? Because God was in it. And bottom line is, we still have the ruins of Jericho that are still there to this day to prove what God did. And it says in verse 17, now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Funny that he says trouble it, because this guy, this is a side note, by the way, this is a freebie. In chapter 7, we find a guy named Achan. His name actually means troubler. He didn't listen to this instruction. He took items from Jericho, tried to hide them from everyone in the bottom of his tent and all that, but God revealed it. And they stoned him to death along with his family and burned them. And you could say that Achan was aching. I got jokes for days, folks. Anyways, back to our story. Verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted with when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great joy that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. The wall was destroyed, except for Rahab's house. Amazing. How does God do that? He's God. Verse 21, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword. Now, some people will read this and be like, wow, God is brutal. I can't believe he did all that. You would have to go back and read all the history of the Canaanites and the Amorites, all the ites that were in the promised land, and the whole reason God was saying wipe them out was because they were so wicked, you know, and I don't have time to get into all that. It's a whole other story for another day. Trust me, if you haven't read it, you need to go back and read it and understand that history, and ultimately we learn later that they didn't destroy everyone, and they did get sidetracked, and they did get pulled into all this idolatry and stuff that would caused them much ruin for a long time. All right. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in, brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire, only silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So Rahab's life, her family's life, all that she had was spared. You would think, wow, that's a great ending. But wait, there's more. She dwelt with the children of Israel, but because the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible, we know even more about Rahab. Let's now turn to James chapter 2. So in James chapter 2, it says, starting in verse 20, "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." Check it out. Here we go. "Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So here in James, the brother of Jesus, when showing examples of faith that works, gives us two examples. One is Abraham, which we would expect. He's the father of our faith, right? That's how the Bible mentions him. But looky here, Rahab is mentioned again. Her faith wasn't in word only, but in action. She hid the spies and risked everything. And again, she's a great example for us, and may our faith also be in action. Her faith was a working faith. Finally, let's look at the greatest honor of our sister Rahab that she received in Scripture. Yes, the Hall of Faith in Hebrews is a great honor, and only two women made the cut, Sarah and Rahab. But there's another list, however, isn't there, that leads to our Savior's lineage. And for that, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 1. And just for time, I'm not going to read this whole list, even though I love reading all these names. But I'm going to pick it up right in the middle right here. It says Salmon. It is Salmon, but we're going to do the Hebrew name. Solomon. Okay, that sounds so much better. Solomon begot Boaz. That name should be familiar. By Rahab. There she is. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. Oh, we'll read one more verse. "And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been wife of Uriah." And that's a whole other story for another day. And the last part of those verses, it says, "So all the generations," is probably not up on the board. Nope. All right. "So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Rahab's name will be forever in the lineage of Jesus. She was the mother of Boaz, who we read about in the book of Ruth, and the great-great-grandmother of King David. Pretty amazing that a Canaanite harlot can go from certain destruction as being part of the wicked Canaanite culture to being saved, along with her family, and not only brought into the Israelite nation, but also being listed in the lineage of our Savior Jesus. We too were on our way to destruction, to hell, but God stepped in and Jesus made the way of escape. We are not bound anymore to the old titles that the enemy would love to keep next to our names, with whatever sin was prominent before Christ came in. We have been set free like our sister Rahab." Amen? All right, worship team, you can make your way back up. So Rahab made the Hall of Faith by acting on what little she knew of our great God by faith. The plagues in Egypt, the wilderness experiences of the Israelites, the defeat of their enemies, and the way God provided for his people. It must have been overwhelming for her, but she didn't lay that information to the side and keep going in the wrong direction like the rest of the Canaanites did, right? The rest of those people were like, oh yeah, that, ooh. But we're going to fight against them. She knew that was impossible. She acted on her faith and turned to God. What about us? Have we heard of the great things God has done and not responded? Have you been putting off surrendering to Jesus? Step out in faith today like our sister Rahab and be saved. For us that believe, is your faith active? Are you doing something with what you know about God? Rahab acted and had a working faith. So my question is, where do you need to put your faith to work today? And finally, Rahab's faith was simple. She heard, she obeyed, and she responded. Are you complicating your faith? What do you need to do to respond to that God has already revealed to you? The elders, like last week, are going to be available for prayer, along with the prayer team members in the back. Last week, we had learned to come boldly before the throne of grace, which many of you did. Just remember, that's not a one-time thing. That's every time that you need to come before God. We can come boldly before the throne of grace because of what Jesus did. And if God has spoken to you today, respond today and have faith like Rahab and step out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I just thank you so much for the example that we see in our sister Rahab. God, how you can take a life that so many would look at and just be like, oh, there's no hope there. But God, you are the God of hope. You're the God of all grace. You're the one that takes broken things and makes them new. You're the one that gives beauty for ashes. Thank you for saving my life, God. I thank you for saving all those that are here that have placed their trust in you. And again, God, I just pray right now, if there's anyone in here that has just been holding back, afraid to step out, may you give them the grace and the faith that they need even now to step out and to surrender themselves to you. God, we're all part of this big family. And one day we'll be reunited with our sister Rahab in heaven and with all those that we've read about. And we'll be, most importantly, there at your feet, God. I pray right now, God, that there would be just a little piece of heaven right here that we can come before your throne and just do business with you. So, God, I pray, just draw out those that need to come up. Help them to step out in faith, God. Again, bless my brothers and sisters here, God, as they continue to walk out the faith that you've given them. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.